that like you said, Brother Larry spent a month on that book, and all that would be very difficult to cover without just rushing through and all knowing what to leave out. And we've, you know, many of us have been there. And then you, in addition to that, I feel like Brother Roger expressed and told us how he really came to this point, and as he was just reading through, he was made to stop and pause there. And I think you rightfully paused and dug into that and prayed. And so that's a good lesson in itself. So 12 o'clock's not a magic hour or anything, but so I don't have to stop then, Brother Roger. So don't worry about that. Don't worry about the time. I'm not going to look up just yet. I want to go to the Gospel of Matthew, begin there, and a thought or two that's on my mind, not primarily, but it touches on really about what Brother Roger left with there, talking about David and Ruth, so forth. But I never really delved into this, but keep praying. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, they are in Jesus and disciples. They're in Capernaum, fishing city here. And in the 9th verse says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence," where he was just, and he had performed miracles and so forth, but "as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. Mm-hmm. And he arose," Matthew arose, "and followed him." So this and then two other places documents the calling of Matthew to follow Jesus Christ, one of his disciples. And he arose and he followed him. We'll get, as I go, hit the other two places in Mark and Luke, we'll see a little bit more added to it. And then finally in Luke, we'll see some there. Then it says that it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. So Matthew, in his house, had this meal. He had invited many of his fellow publicans, of which he was, and apparently, of all things, invited sinners, and came and sat down with him and his disciples. His disciples are there. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "That they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Then I'll read one more verse here. "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He's saying what? He's telling these Pharisees, what good would it do to minister to a physician, to minister to those that are not sick at all? It's a waste of time. And so he's with, and we'll get more into this, when how he separates publicans and sinners. So now in Mark, it's in the 2nd chapter. Mark chapter 2, down around verse 12, 13, 14, right around in there. And remember Matthew, and I'll delve into more detail in a minute, but Matthew is the one also that wrote the Gospel of Matthew. It's believed that it was the first gospel written. And so he wrote that. So he was inspired to write what I just read to you over there. And he said, Jesus called his name Matthew. Follow me. So here, it's in the 13th verse, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted to unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. So we see here in the writing of Mark that Matthew is called Levi. And Levi, and many disciples had two, you know, I think of John Mark and so forth, different names, but this is the same, and we can certainly tell by context. I think either Wednesday night or last Sunday, Roger and I were talking, and he'd mentioned, you know, context is so important. And that's true. So he called Levi, and we also have another bit of information. He's a son of Alphaeus. And yet he still calls him, he says that he's in the same place, sitting at the receipt of custom. Now I'm going to jump to Luke, the fifth chapter. Luke chapter 5. I'll try to get more into this. I keep diverting from going into something, and pray the Lord's in it. In the fifth chapter of Luke, it's a little bit more information. And writer, of course, of this gospel and of Acts being Luke. 27th verse says, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. Now the other two places just said he rose and followed him. This says, and he left all. He left all, rose up, and followed him. Now, before I now get into more details about this and give you what Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, those of you who know him, remember him. In this same chapter, Jesus Christ called other disciples as well. So he's already called other disciples, and they were there present when, and Mark and Luke also cover that meal there where the Pharisees were just appalled that he was eating a meal with sinners and publicans. Real quickly, let me touch on one similarity here in this fifth chapter of Luke. Talks about Simon Peter, James and John, and they're fishing, and I think it's a very familiar story, and told them where to let down their nets, and it almost sunk the ships. I believe that's this particular one. That they were fishermen. Matthew was I haven't said this phrase yet, he was a tax collector. That's what a publican is. A publican is not slang for Republican. Has nothing to do with Republican. It's a publican. It's a tax collector. He sat here collecting custom. So I'll get more into that in a moment. But so that was Matthew, Levi's, his career, his job was that. I'll tell you more about that job in a moment. But the rest of they're fishermen, and so Jesus tells them to let the nets down where, and all these fish almost sunk the ship. 10th verse says, Jesus crying, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So they followed Christ there. They forsook all. That implies they just walked away. This is ships, boats, fish, nets, everything. Their secular career, their livelihood, they walked away. And they forsook all and followed Jesus Christ. There. Now quickly, I'm going to jump to and then come back. And I hope this falls together. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And many of you will recognize, well, last Sunday, I guess I preached on, went to this, but I want to touch on this after something that Sister Stephanie said last Wednesday night, as we talked about this verse in John 5:25 for a bit, and the differences in those callings. But here it says in the 14th verse, 3rd chapter of Hebrews, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. So harden not your hearts today if ye will hear his voice. There's a calling there. It's different from the calling in John 5:25. That calling where once you hear that voice of God, you are then able to hear the gospel call. Then at some point, whether it's right at that same moment or sometime, you experience conversion where you actually are blessed to trust in Jesus Christ for everything, as Brother Roger mentioned a few times this morning. And so here's this call. This ties right in with Jesus Christ calling his disciples. Simon Peter could have said, we just brought the biggest haul of fish in that we ever have and almost turned my boat over and all. And so I think I'm going to stick with this profession and not follow your profession, being fisher of men. He could have very well said that. So hang on to that, and I'm going to bring it together in Matthew, I think it's Matthew the 18th chapter. Well, no, that's not, I don't think that's where I want. But let me go back to Luke. And I'll bring this out. In Luke, in that 5th chapter again. So when the other night, Wednesday night, Sister Stephanie asked a very good question. That calling that I just read in the 3rd chapter of Hebrews. We've answered that. We felt the unction at some point, the strong feeling from who, no, none other than the Holy Ghost to join the church, to become a disciple of Christ fully. Yet I find myself, I was listening to a song on the way today, and I can't even remember the title of it, but it was talking about giving your heart to God, to Jesus Christ. Already having heard that call, that doesn't get anything for you in heaven. But here, and I realized, and maybe that's part of my feeling of condemnation, worthlessness today, but that I had not given my all. They forsook all. Levi, Matthew left all, forsook all, left all, and followed Jesus Christ. I have yet to do that. That's hard to say those words to people I love, but to leave all, that means so much, and that means different things to different people. But anyways, the other night, Sister Stephanie asked, well, that call there, is that a one-time only call? And I believe we came to the conclusion, I don't think it is. I'm continually reminded how I'm to follow Jesus Christ. I have to be reminded. And many times, most times, I'm first reminded of what He did for me, for us, for every child, every lamb that God gave Him. I'm reminded of that. So it's over and over. In John, the 20th chapter, and I'm sorry I'm jumping around so much, but 20th chapter of John, maybe I'm already into the 21st chapter, you'll find me. Anyway, this is after Jesus Christ is risen, and He talks to Simon Peter. And this is when He asked him thrice, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. After that, I'm going to tie all this together. It says in the 19th verse, this spake He, in the 19th verse, chapter 21 of John, this spake He, signifying by what death He should glorify God. And when He had spoken this, Jesus, He saith unto him, follow me. He's done it twice now. Follow me. He's already told them, follow me. And they followed Him. And now He's saying again, follow me. Above that, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. He was, very familiar. Third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Then he tells him, one more time, follow me. Remember John the Baptist. He is in jail. He's in a jail cell. And he sends his disciples, go ask Jesus, his cousin. Go ask Jesus, are you the one or should we look for another? He needed to be told again to be a disciple. So yes, we have to be reminded. Whether it's something we see, something we hear audibly, or that still small voice, we have to be reminded and strengthened in that. All right, I'm going to get back to Luke chapter 5 and stay there and go more into Matthew. So we've already seen in that 30th verse of the 5th chapter of Luke, where these Pharisees are asking, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Now, why did they separate publicans and sinners? Obviously, publicans are sinners. There wasn't one there except Jesus Christ who was not a sinner. But those that didn't follow the law, Brother Roger was talking about the law and so forth, but those that didn't follow the law and those that were habitually sinful and so forth, that's a different group than these tax collectors. Now, today, if you're like me, I think of tax collectors. It's the IRS. I'm not crazy about them. Now, they all work, not all of them, there's so millions. They work in the same building I do. It's a federal building in Dallas, as does the EPA. But we're on the good side. We're the courts, the judges, and so forth. So we're there. But the IRS works there. Tax collectors at this time, they didn't go down and fill out a job application and then come into the building there and just and then take money. Now, we see already in according to three witnesses here, that Matthew sat at this place of, and they called it every time a receipt of custom. There was a booth, a building somewhere in Capernaum where he would take the money, take taxes. So far, you probably can't tell, see, well, why are they looking so far down on him with this? He's just taking taxes that Rome are taking. But what they did then, what's different from today, is these tax collectors, publicans, would go and apply for a contract with these hated Romans who oppressed the Jews. They oppressed everyone. They oppressed the Jews already. So there's that. And they had to go. So this Jew, Matthew, went and said, okay, I want to do this. I want to be a collector of customs, of taxes. And so you would apply for that. What they would do is pay Rome a fee monthly. And think, well, I thought they gave them taxes. The tax collectors kept everything that they added to it from the people, from their Jewish brethren, businessmen, these fishermen, Simon Peter, James, and John. They would take money from them as much as they wanted. They became rich. That's what kind of job Matthew had. And so they didn't just look at them as, this is kind of a sinful job, secular career, to provide for yourself or if you have a family and so forth. No, they saw them as traitors to the Jewish people. Because they were stealing from them. They would take as much money, and they had to have the Roman centurions there, the guards and so forth, to protect them. And besides just taking all that money and keeping it for themselves and giving Rome what they had agreed to pay them, they lived lavish lifestyles. So they separated themselves even further from the Jews, and it's no doubt that Alphaeus, the father of Levi, of Matthew, would have nothing to do with him. This is a traitor to his people. So they worked for these hated Romans, took this money, and I'll use, if I can find it, words of Jesus here. In the 19th chapter of Luke, the same book, here's another man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was rich. He was chief among the publicans. I don't know if it was a multi-level marketing deal or what, if he had people working for him or what, but he was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, chief among publicans. And this defines what they were doing. If you needed somebody else's word, this is the word of God. In the 8th verse of this 19th chapter of Luke, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it him fourfold. If I've taken, as if he didn't know, if I've taken anything falsely from anyone. Well, he had. He was a tax collector. He was a publican here. This is, and Jesus, in fact, two other places, I won't go there so I can wrap it up, but Jesus Christ used publicans, tax collectors, to emphasize how in, I think it's, let me, if I can find this, because this is good. No, well, I won't take the time, but Jesus Christ used publicans in the area there in Matthew, where I think it's Matthew 18. Anyway, where he's talking about showing love toward one another and forgiveness, restoring a brother who has offended you and so forth. And he uses a phrase, even a publican, even one of those deserves this. That's how Jesus Christ even used publicans to emphasize of the worst of the worst. Tax collector of all people would be the worst sinners that the Pharisees would get bent out of shape on him eating this meal with. Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? When Matthew left that career, and it says he left all. He left all and followed Jesus Christ. He could not come back to that job. He gave that up. He gave all. Now, I don't want to downplay, though, the other disciples. It says they left all and followed Jesus. But yet we find where they go back. Simon Peter says, I go a fishing. They go back. Jesus Christ has to come back, call them again, as I read, to come back and follow him. They could go back. They wouldn't have their boat and all. They could get a boat. They could get nets and so forth, go back. And Matthew could never go back to what he left, not only his career, but his all the whatever riches he had. And we don't know. We don't know that. What I see here is the type of person that Jesus Christ called as a disciple. Please do not think ever that I cannot possibly be getting this gospel call to be a disciple. I'm not good enough. I've committed all this. I'm not living the right way. I can't just relinquish everything. We see the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, and we see Matthew now. We see the personality of Simon Peter, and these are who he called. When he called them these places I've gone, because I haven't gone to John 5:25, when he called them, they were already children of God, and they've fallen otherwise. No, I'm not going to leave my lavish lifestyle and follow you for this traveling and wandering and all. And at this point, obviously, I mean, we talk about how little the disciples and the apostles knew at the end of Jesus' time here in the flesh on earth. But you think about this time, for them to follow him. If somebody just walked in off the street now and said, you leave all and follow me, I mean, I don't know about that. But we know the Messiah is come. The Messiah is risen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is risen. We know that. We have more information than the apostles had at that time. So we have more than that. What I was going to mention with what Brother Roger had ended up on is that that genealogy. Matthew, this terrible publican, he was probably one of the better ones to pen this Gospel of Matthew. You know, in the first chapter has a genealogy, has, you know, Ruth, and it has all these. It has the genealogy in there, and then he wrote it to the Jews. This was the first gospel written, and yet we know, and I've talked about how the Apostle Paul was so well fitted to be in that calling that he was in God and Jesus Christ. He first went to the Jews. I mean, he was a Pharisee. he was one of these guys that Jesus, you know, what are you dining, eating at meat with sinners and publicans? Saul was a Pharisee and persecuted the church. So even in the ones that were called here, Matthew being one of those. But this certainly shows different personalities. I expressed outwardly the appreciation of the various gifts and personalities just in this church alone. Can it be challenging? Yes. But you don't treat each one the same. You don't talk to each one the same. You should be in constant prayer as I begin to talk to this child of God. How am I to address them? What is their background? What have they been experiencing? And yet I don't do that all the time. I know what I want to say. And I think about Matthew. I think, you know what? He was probably a very logical person, as am I. And so you just hear, I need to say this, get from point A to point B. No, sometimes you have to hold back, pray to God,
right. And
you work with and communicate with different ones in different ways. And it can be difficult, but just like preachers say, I love to preach, but I despise trying to preach. Well, I love when God is in our fellowship and our services and so forth. I love that. I'm so thankful for that. But when you're struggling to enter and to press into that, not always. It's not always a piece of cake. I am so thankful for what we have. I expressed what I did about the singing. But this has to be evidence that someone is praying prayers of thankfulness to God Almighty for what we have, or else we wouldn't have it. Believe me, He would take it away. He will. He gives us warnings sometimes, shot across the bow, if you will, and all. But that is where I constantly worry, knowing my condemnation, but not letting go of that, even though I know that there is therefore now no condemnation, but here in time, as Jesus Christ, I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ is judging us. Look at what He's done for us. Look at the love that He had and has for us. And it hasn't changed since He agreed with the Trinity, in the Trinity, that He would save us from our sins. That love is the same. What love did that take to love someone like Matthew that no one else could love? Even his own family couldn't love him. He left all and followed Him. Would that I could leave all and follow Him as I should enter into that rest. That if you go on in that third chapter of Hebrews, you enter into that rest. There's a calling there. It's a lifting. It's not because I can't quite let go. I don't know if I could let go of that, the lavishness of my lifestyle as a tax collector, as they did it, and the riches. Well, maybe next week let me save up just a little bit more. That's the way I think about stuff. But He left all. They left all. Simon Peter left all and followed Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not demand that we sell all of our material goods and do something in our lives. He doesn't demand that we quit our secular job devote every moment, every waking moment to the church and one another. He certainly demands more of me than I commit to Him. We're taught to provide for our families and to do that. We love them and want to provide them with their needs and even their wants. But God Almighty will provide a way. He provides our every need, even before we ask when we don't know. And I pray that He'll continue to do that. May God bless and keep you.